You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look for ways we can work together to advance the cause of Christ among Free Will Baptists around the world. Today I have with us Brother Tim York. He's the moderator of the National Association for Free Will Baptists. And Brother Tim, I think you've done that for like 17 years.
It's been a good while.
And you're also the pastor of The Grove down in the Smyrna area of Tennessee. It's such a good pleasure to have you here with us today.
It's a joy to be here.
We're going to talk about a very serious subject for Free Will Baptist. And so right now, we need 124 new pastors. Now, I say that 2 weeks ago, it was 119, and then it turned into 121, and 124 is where we're at today. And so I wanted to start by just reading the scripture. Everyone knows from 1 Timothy 3:1, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. But we need a lot more men to desire that work today and to answer the call.
Absolutely. We are heading to a crisis. If you really want to look at a number, is then look at those who are 65 and older who are pastoring our churches, realizing that, you know, in 10 years, there's going to be a mass vacancy among us.
And that's why it changes every 2 weeks. Someone retires, someone dies. I think there's one church or one state where we had 8 people in their 80s that were serving
yes.
as pastors. So it's a major problem. We want all our people, first of all, to be praying about. Secondly, it'd be a good idea that they would look at the requirements in Titus 1, 1 Timothy 3, and look around for people that meet those qualifications.
You know, Jesus said, for us to pray the Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers, and we're there.
Yes.
I think it behooves us to pray that God would call men, and preferably young men, but we'll take whatever the Lord calls at this point, because we need help. Our churches are in trouble without a leader. And the longer they go, the harder it is for them to survive and have good health. And you have to understand, they're living without a leader. That's a really tough spot to be in.
It's a bad place to be. And this is something you've been concerned about for some time. You've trained as one of our coaches. You're working on your dissertation at this point for your doctorate. And that led you to study the problem a bit more, didn't it?
It did. It really, just one day you were given some statistics at a executive committee meeting. And boy, I mean, it really gripped my heart that, you know, we solve a lot of problems. We solve problems with our colleges, with missions, with our denomination. But if we don't take care of the local church, we're in real trouble. And my project is more dealing with a way to stop guys from quitting the ministry and churches and pastors having conflict, because that's a major part of this problem. A lot of young men come out of college, they go to their first church, they run into a church bully, they run into a church problem, they don't know how to deal with anything, something, they feel inadequate, and they're discouraged, they're tired, their family's ready to give up. And so they go find them a job, and mm-hmm. that's the last of the ministry. It'd be interesting to do a statistic on how many fellows have pastored for 4 years and never gone back to the pastorate. Mm. I think it'd be a large number. And so what we're trying to do, this is my part of the program, is more of a stopping some of the conflict that causes burnout and other issues for guys to quit. But we still, here's the thing, if we replace a pastor today for one of the 124, we're probably still the net 124. We just took somebody else's pastor and plugged them somewhere else. We've still got the same issue. So when we find young men or men who are willing to serve in the role of pastor, what we're trying to do in this project is give them all the church and the pastor no surprises when they build the relationship. You know, it's kind of like premarital counseling. Your goal at premarital counseling is not to work through all their problems, because we really don't know what life will deal with them. But what we can do is at least give them tools to work with and work out some of those things that we know are going to be real conflicts. Mm-hmm. And I just would say what we're doing here is like premarital counseling. Mm-hmm. We're analyzing the church and its kind of its personality and its different preferences and its world that it works in. and then take the man and allow him to go through that same process. And we actually ask him to do the personality test so that we kind of figure out who he is, his personality, will it fit. And what we're doing is taking, of course, a three-man committee, hopefully somebody from our national level, somebody from our state level, somebody from that local church's level, and let them analyze three or four guys and make a couple recommendations. Now, let me be really clear. We're not touching the autonomy of the local church. We're simply a clearinghouse to give them names that we think would fit them. They can do whatever they choose to do. We hope they'll just take our recommendations and then follow through their normal process.
So what you've done is there's been a lot of work to develop some forms. One is a form that a church would complete where they go through and they give a description of their church. They talk about the things that are very important to that particular church because all churches are different, have a different personality. Right. Talks about who's in leadership, what kinds of ministries they have, and so forth. And so you can go right now to nafwb.org/refresh, and you can download the form. You could complete the form online, and we're encouraging churches to do that.
Right.
There's also a form, and they look very similar. We tried to differentiate them a little bit. So the one that's got the church on it is for churches to complete. The one that has the icon where it that's a Bible, in case anyone's wondering. So there's a man holding a Bible. That's the pastoral candidate form. And so you just alluded to that one where a man talks about, well, this is my experience, this is where I've been, this is what I need, these are the things that I would be looking for in a church. And what you're saying is that you're going to do what you can. We're going to try to help in many cases to partner folks together.
Well, one of the things we've not done well as a movement is spiritual gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes we try to put a round peg in a square hole, and it doesn't work. And sometimes we pick a guy who has certain spiritual gifts and certain strengths about him that become a negative in a local church where somebody else has those kind of strengths. For instance, you know, through the years, people have said to me, we'd love to have you as our pastor. I go, no, you'd hate to have me as your pastor. Because they may like the pulpit style. They may enjoy the preaching or the teaching or whatever. But when it comes to day-to-day stuff, it's where the conflict really comes. How do you start a new ministry in a local church? Well, at one church, a guy may have just announced next Sunday, hey, we're going to start this new class. At another church, it requires a lot of hoops to jump through. So we want to know those things. When they go in, they're on level ground. Music, conflict in music. Or the music war, as some have called it. And there's just a multitude of things. Preaching style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody said, we like Bible preaching. Well, Bible preaching is a broad term. Some may want expository. Some may be a church that's built on topical preaching. It's just we want to find out what we're getting into so that everybody has a fair place to begin the process.
Mm-hmm. And so sometimes, you mentioned earlier, it'd be interesting to know how many men went and pastored for 4 years, really got burned out or harmed really quickly, and like, I'm done with that.
Right.
We're looking at a pastor as a very valuable, very important person, nothing more really important than the job that a pastor does. And so what we have here is the kind of thing you might see a professor or any other kind of educator or government official, well, you know, not elected,
yeah,
you know, and so forth, where they would complete this and where people really go into and they examine and they're thinking through what kind of person do they need, and then people know what they're getting into.
Yes, and let me say this about the pastoral candidate. You may not have any experience. This has been designed kind of with the guys' experience in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that's going to be held against you. If you don't have experience, there'll be churches looking for guys who don't have experience as well. So I encourage you to fill it out if you have interest at all.
That's good. So,
and I think it's important for people to understand. I would just say this, in reality of what we're trying to do, is we're trying to bring harmony and long-term pastors. Instead of the 2 and 3 year cycle, we'd like for the guy to be able to move his family in, make a lifetime decision,
mm-hmm,
and really build the work of God where he's at.
Let's hear a message from the National Association of Free Will Baptists. The Together Way. doing more together. What is the Together Way plan? The Together Way was established in 1994 as a way to fund the work of the denomination. The plan provides a comprehensive approach to stewardship based on biblical principles. Unified by the Together Way, Free Will Baptist can do what no individual or local church can do to carry out kingdom work. To learn more about the Together Way, go to www.nafwb.org/togetherway. You could also call us at 877-767-7659 and send your questions about the Together Way to questions@nafwb.org.
You're listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
We know from some data that we've seen that more successful pastors are pastors that are long. And what you're saying is if we could get folks to stay beyond the 4 years, we could get, if we had situations where pastors and churches were good fits, they get into a groove and over, there's some good research that really you got to be there like 12 years and so forth to have a major impact. So we need people working together on the same page, so to speak.
And sometimes those conflicts, really, a guy may have a four-year.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, it just didn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to get where there's fitting so that they can feel free to practice their spiritual gifts and the church can feel free to have ministry. And a lot of this stuff is really just traditions that people have lived through or ideas in their mind or experiences they've had. And we're trying to find a way to marry those two and make a good, lasting relationship.
That's
because
great.
Health of a church is the most important part of this whole thing, is that churches remain healthy.
That's right. And so this has been the number 124. It came from our state leaders, so they canvassed their states. These are, I have 12, or I need 12 pastors, and this person needs 16. And that's where that came from. Then they took these forms and gave us feedback on those. And then we went and discussed with them how they might use them in their particular states. And one of the things that some of these state leaders, they may end up doing this on their own,
right,
wherever they're at. We did have in one of our meetings, especially folks in the Northeast and folks in the Northwest, talk about, think about us. And so I am going to bring that up to folks that may be considering the call. And those are especially folks we would like for them to send these forms to us. Are you willing to go anywhere?
Right.
Are you willing to go to the Northeast or Oregon, if you will?
I think that's so important. That we don't limit God to where he sends us.
Yes.
But that we say, you know, the scripture says, a man that desires the office of a bishop desireth a good work. And I think you just have to desire wherever God wants to put you. Where is he at work that you could be a good fit and have a wonderful ministry? I remember the guy who called me this man 35 years ago, and he said, I need a church, and I want to move south. I said, the only church I know is in New Brunswick, Canada. And he ended up there. So, I mean, those things can happen.
That's good. And some of these places, you know, we have a lot of rural churches. They end up having a lot of impact on their community. But we also have some churches in metropolitan areas, especially when
Absolutely.
We think about the West and some of the most populous places in the country and even the world. So please prayerfully consider this. Look at the qualifications. And if one's been called, please answer, and we're here to help with that process.
Your life can forever change thousands of lives if you're willing to allow the Lord to direct you in this path. And I really believe there's a lot of guys out there who God is speaking to, and God is at work in their lives, but they don't know what to do. They know that their association has all the preachers they need, but there are many places looking
yes.
and needing help.
Well, in some of our meetings, we've talked about the need for creative approaches, too. Why don't we talk a bit about that now? So we have a need for 124 new pastors. We have so many that are in their 80s, so many in their 70s, so many in their 60s. So this 124 is not going to go smaller. That's
No.
going to grow. So would you like to share with us some of your ideas on the creativity we might have to utilize?
Well, I think we have to go back to history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I grew up in Eastern Kentucky, and we in those days had pastors who would pastor three or four churches. Now, in those days, it was more when you did circuit riding, they met on the first Sunday and they met on the second Sunday. I don't think that's a good idea. What I would suggest, though, is that the churches within driving distance of each other in a good location, that we begin to look at two part-time churches, hiring a full-time pastor, and juggling the schedule so that the guy can be at both services. He'll visit the same hospitals. He'll be involved in the same ministries. And it gives the church a full-time guy in the community talking about both churches. Other denominations have done this very well. And it gives an opportunity for the church to not have to, you know, a lot of guys who work bivocational can't get off to do the funeral. They can't get off when the emergency happens. But if you could put two churches together, they have that potential to do that. And I think there are many of these 124 that probably could have some kind of impact that way.
Mm-hmm. We've got another podcast with Dr. Danny Dwyer where he talks about merging is an idea whose time has come.
It has come.
And so we talk about merging. We talk about utilizing bivocational pastors. We talk about really a kind of a circuit riding somewhat approach. This is a time for churches to think this way, and I'm sure some folks are listening and saying, oh, we've got to have it this way. I would really encourage our folks to inquire of the Lord.
Yes.
You read about David in his early days was constantly inquiring of the Lord. You know, should we go up and attack the Philistines? And when he quit inquiring of the Lord, things went awry. But some of the things he inquired of the Lord seemed kind of simple. And still he inquired. And just like we're praying for God to give us more pastors, we're asking our churches to do that. Ask God. Stop and ask. Maybe this is an approach, a creative approach we might try.
Well, I think stewardship's a key element that the Lord will not bless poor stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
And poor stewardship is when we've got so much money going to the electric company and so much money going to the gas company, when we could merge these two churches and have a really strong impact in a community. And I would suggest if churches are willing to discuss this, you get a facilitator, a state leader, association leader, denominational leader, and let them kind of facilitate between the two churches so that, again, you don't have conflict at the beginning. You work all this stuff out in a facilitated form so that everybody can have at least some kind of a fair playing ground.
Mm-hmm. And so that's one of our mottos here in the executive office. We're here to help.
Right.
So I believe their state leaders, your promotional leaders are there to help. We're here to help. We'll do whatever we can to assist you in this process. Get us involved early. You know, the earlier we're involved, the better it's going
Absolutely.
To be. Whether it be coaching or rekindle, we'll do what we can to help out.
I'm thrilled at what we're doing with local churches. I think we are at a point where we have to do it. I think it's a point where we want to do it, and it's a point where we need local churches to understand where they're at, too, as well. And, you know, growing up in the hills, one of the things you had trouble with was finding a doctor because mm-hmm. sometimes you couldn't get a doctor to come to a small community. Well, the same is true with preachers. We're in the same boat we were when I was a kid about doctors. We're now with preachers. And I think you have to understand where you're at and what we're up against and say, look, there might be a good opportunity for us to change mm-hmm. and change our health habits or change our church habits so we can get ready for another day.
That's great. Well, we appreciate the good work you've done on this, a lot of time and effort into this.
Well, it's my pleasure.
It's good stuff, and so keep at it, and we appreciate you all listening to us today.
Yes.
Please pray for us to see healthier churches, that they will utilize these resources. Pray that we'll see more people, more men called into the ministry, and check out our blogs. We've got a couple of blogs about this. Pray for pastors, pray for deacons, and pray for people that will use their spiritual gifts to serve the Lord. And if we all do that, your church will be better together. We as a denomination will be better together. We'll be more effective. Thank you for joining us today.